the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Help me sing it. Let's sing it together.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the rush of angels' wings. I see glory.
Let's sing it together again.
Truly, the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. See glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen. I'm thankful for that presence tonight. We've got several prayer requests and a couple of testimonies that we'll share with you this evening. Remember, Brother Ben Davis, not feeling well for a few days now. Also a request for the Parker family. Someone has been sick in their family since before Christmas. Erica and Emma are sick now. They want to be in church, so just praise the Lord, move for that family. A request for Sister Jane Terrell. She's in so much pain from all the broken bones, really needs our prayers. So let's remember that, her and Brother Gene. A prayer request for Elaine Oldham. She's to have surgery on her tongue this coming week. She's got some cancer. They're going to have to remove the cancerous section and maybe have to remove a portion of her tongue. So just pray for that situation. God will be with the surgeon there. Brother Harvey Lunsford asked that we pray for his nephew, Joel Lunsford. Lives in Arizona, having some serious heart problems. Just remember him. Brother Dan, Sister Judy Dyer asked us to pray for their grandson, Jackson Williamson. He's 3 months old, been admitted to Children's Hospital in Knoxville for seizure testing. Just remember that. Charles Hinkle, 16 years old, heart trouble. He's having his second open heart surgery next week. Brother Kenneth Johns turns that in. Also remember Brother Orville Reese turns this in for Rick Trivett and Dennis Crawford, both battling cancer. Pray for Sister Naomi Daly, very sick with blood pressure problems, pinched nerve in her neck, other problems. So a lot of needs tonight. We have two testimonies, though, to share with you. Just a demonstration of what God's doing right now. Sister Teresa White turns this in. It's a little lengthy, but we'll read this. I want to thank each and every one of you, my precious brothers and sisters, for the phone calls, text cards, private messages, and words of encouragement, gifts, flowers, fruit basket from the church. Food sisters prepared for me. Most of all, your prayers. Dr. Paul Kramer removed a demonic mass that weighed 20 pounds from my abdomen on January 4th. I called it demonic because it attacked my body, not knowing what it was or when it started or what it was doing to my health. I lost my hearing 1 year and 5 months ago. Since it has been removed, my hearing has also returned. I want to give our God all the praise and glory for having confidence in me to allow me not only to have this trial, but bringing me through it. I was never scared or discouraged of what they would find because I knew my God has always been with me. It is the only way I could have made it this far. God's been so good to me. He's put a desire in my heart to serve Him as a young girl. I want to publicly say how much He means to me, how I love Him. My testimony and prayer is, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. So we certainly appreciate that testimony. Brother Joel and Sister Tamika Brown turn in a testimony. Josiah recently had an EEG performed as follow-up on his treatment for seizures. It showed no abnormalities. He has an appointment this upcoming week with the pediatric neurologist, and she may consider weaning him off of his medication. We give all the praise to God. Thank you so much for your support and your prayers. So let's stand. Let's give the Lord a big hand for what He's done for us. Brother Wes Willis, if you would, let's just take these needs that we have to the Lord. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You so much for these testimonies, Lord, just the answer to prayer. And Lord, it's just a reminder, not that we need any right now. We've had testimonies down through the centuries, Lord, but it's just a reminder of how much You love us and how much You care and how much You invest in us. It's Your great care and the down payment of our resurrection, Lord, on display right before us. Lord, so many of these prayer requests touch our heart, Lord, and we just think about everybody that's going through a hard time and all the suffering and the pain and the different cancers and the different sicknesses that everybody's going through, Lord. And we look at these things and it touches us. And we know, Lord, that You know everything that's going on. You know every single detail that's happening in each of these lives that was mentioned here tonight, Lord. And we know that we can take our faith and we can lay it down at this altar tonight, Lord. We can join our faith together as the body of Christ, and we can trust You and place this in Your hands and place these requests in Your hands. And we know that You are definitely going to do something. We don't ever know exactly how Your will is going to be worked out, Lord. But just like our sister who had to wait and the cancerous mass was taken out of her, Lord, and her hearing returned even. Lord, we never know how You're going to answer the prayers, but we know that You are going to answer them. And Father, we just faithfully believe and trust that You're going to do everything to bring us through, Lord, until that day when we can come together and meet in the air with You. Lord, we're just looking so forward to that. We thank You for this place where we can come and hear the truth right out of the Word of God, unadulterated and pure and just sweet as flowing water straight from the throne of heaven, Lord. It's such a blessing. And it just is more proof of Your mercy and Your great love towards us, Lord, that You've kept us in the light of this hour, Lord, and that You've pushed back the darkness so that we could see the truth and have revelation of who You are. We thank You for everything that You're doing, Lord, and we just ask Your blessing upon this service. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of who You are and what You deserve and how we can worship You and how we can draw closer to You, Lord. And we just ask You to pour out Your blessings on our brother as he's back there preparing and praying to bring us the Word tonight, Lord. We just ask that You speak clearly through him, that You put him aside just like we know He wants You to, and just speak through him, Lord, so that we can hear You, Lord, that we can receive revelation, that we can draw closer. Father, we ask Your blessing on everything, on the music and on the praise and on the worship tonight, Lord, and on the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Wes. You can be seated tonight.
Well, I know the Master of the wind. I know the Maker of the rain. Make the sun shine again. I know the Master of the wind. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale. I know the Master of the wind. I know sun. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the high. Above the peaks my soul can be found. Unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It'll bring me low, it'll never bring me down. I know the master of the wind. Lift your hands to him tonight if you know him. I know the maker of the rain. He has come my storm. May the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that chorus again.
If the brothers would like to come tonight and lift the offering, let's sing My Hope is in the Lord. There's going to be a meeting in the fellowship hall tomorrow after service for all young people and their parents who plan to go to Louisiana camp. Brother Wes Willis asked us to announce that, so I'll be in the fellowship hall tomorrow. Well, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. You sing that verse.
Standing all within the presence of the Lord. Wisdom of the ages alive, whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, my only source of life,
my
is trust in Him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in You, Lord. I say tonight, from this time on, and evermore. My hope, yes, my hope is in the Lord.
No better place for our hope tonight. Let's sing, I'm So Glad He Found Me. Amen. That's a G. Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word tonight. Look forward to what he would have for us. There's no specials tonight, so be real special when you sing this. He said he didn't want to come out and expect to see a coffin, so let's be alive and Amen. Let him know we're ready to have church tonight, okay? Start that for us, Harry. I'm so glad he found me.
I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting, and I will lead you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad He found you?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 4, verse 15. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to wait till I get there to worship Him and thank Him for it either. I'm going to thank Him now. I want Him to know that I'm appreciative of His grace. Maybe I look at things different, okay? I was raised poor. We didn't have much. Pretty much everything in my life that I've ever got, I've had to work for it. I appreciate what I've got. I try to take care of my house, my clothes, my car. I try to take care of it. To me, when people don't, it expresses they're not grateful. And I don't just look at that naturally. I look at it for our church, for our message, for a Bible. I'm grateful for my Bible. There's message believers all over the world. We just sent several $1,000 to a country in Africa because the believers have no Bibles. We've got them everywhere. We've got them in a living room. We've got them on our phones. We've got them in our car. We don't appreciate them. Praise the Lord. And generally what you find out is dust on Bibles lead to dirty lives. Clean Bibles generally reflect a clean life if they're obeying what they're reading, that is. I appreciate what God has done. It ain't just talk to me. I appreciate it. I appreciate grace. I appreciate mercy. I appreciate His trials. I appreciate you. I appreciate our musicians, don't you? We've got so much to be thankful for. And I want them to know it. I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven and unload. I'm going to unload then. But I'm going to unload now. Praise, appreciation, grace, thanksgiving. I mean, maybe you think you deserve it. I don't look at myself like that. I realize everything that God's ever given me has been His grace. I don't deserve anything but hell. I appreciate it with all my heart. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, if you're doing it week by week, you're going to get behind. If you're renewing week by week or month by month or three or four times a year, you're going to be way behind. We need to renew day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, what about Revelation? Don't revelation work for our glory? That's not what the scripture says. What about deep understanding? Don't that work for our glory? It's not what Paul said. Praise the Lord now. We believe in that here, don't we? We believe in revelations, mysteries, all that. But notice, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Paul, how can you do that? How can you look at things you can't see? That's what he said. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. A powerful little verse, which I would imagine most of us here have a hard time keeping. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Now, not necessarily for everything, but in everything. There is a difference. in everything give thanks, and this is the reason why. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You mean this is part of God's mystery for my life, that I'm to learn how to give thanks in everything. When things are good, when they're bad, in sickness and health, wealth, poverty, struggles, whatever's going on, in everything. Give thanks. Why? Then you have been able to tie into an understanding of God that very few people ever do. Then you're not up and down based upon material things, based upon how the weather is, how your health is. But you've learned a way to be able to, in everything, give thanks. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your precious word. We want you to know that we are indeed grateful. Lord, I realize our nation is, she's become so rotten, Lord, so pitiful compared to what she was even 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Yet I realize, Father, that still, in spite of all of that, it's a great place to live. We have many liberties and freedoms still that is ours. For that, we're grateful. Most of us, Lord, we didn't come to church tonight hungry, I'm sure, because of the lack of food. Lord, we didn't have to ride over to Germany and over to England and to different places in Canada and see if some of the brothers and sisters there would help send us some money to be able to buy some food, keep us from starving. We didn't have to send letters over to Chile or Brazil or Argentina or Venezuela to see if somebody would help buy some Bibles. Lord, our church tonight doesn't look like the pictures that I received this week of where some of your children are gathering together to worship. No windows, no doors, no floors. Some of them with old tarps draped over the top of pieces of wood. Some of them, Lord, with some sort of leaves that was there. And when the rainy season comes and they have mud walls and the rain runs off the top of what roof they have and runs down the walls and washes their walls away. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for. And yet it seems to be the more we have, the more we want. And the more we have, the less appreciative we are. Lord, I pray that you would help us, dear God, in everything to give thanks. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. As the elect of God, we are invited to come into His presence, not just for blessings, not just for sensations and for an anointed feeling. We are invited into the presence of the King to be partakers of His divine nature, that the holy attributes of God might be comprehended by us as His children. That we would not just be in the outer courts, that we would hear of great things that He has done and wonder if He's still doing them. Not just to remember and reminisce of a day gone by when God did this or that, but to be able to know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To be invited into His courts to be taught by Him how to give Him worship, praise, adoration in all things. When you're feeling well, when you're feeling sick, when you're down, when you're up, when your wife loves you, when you're not sure if she does or not, when you think your family loves you because you're constantly giving money and you figure they wouldn't care if you give a dime for you as long as you wasn't paying their bills. Well, I'll tell you, the Lord ain't that way. The Lord loves us all the time. And I believe that there's a place in Him that He desires for us to be, where we can find, as Paul said, whatever state I found, that whatever state I'm in, that there is a place that I can have contentment there. It doesn't necessarily mean that you desire that state to remain with you. It's not that you want it to be permanent. There's many things I went through in my life. I by no means want them to hang around long. As a matter of fact, 2 or 3 days is plenty long enough. If it has to stretch out for a week, maybe. But man, I'll tell you, I'm not sure I could survive some situations if they went on for months and months. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just being frank and honest with you. But yet, many times I'm afraid that we are constantly waiting for difficulties and things to pass instead of seizing the moment to see what God would help us to learn out of that difficult time that we're going through. Many people live spiritually the way they live naturally. They live from one weekend to the other. The majority of the world, that's the way they live, because they're weekend type of people. They work and they live and they work and they live to provide for the fun and the pleasure that they can have on the weekend. So they can't wait till Friday. They're under such expectation and anticipation of the weekend, Friday and Saturday. And then if they party on Friday night and Saturday, by Sunday, they probably ain't got a whole lot more money to do it. And they're kind of on their hangover and their binge and vomiting and whatever more after all the fun they've had. And then they have to recuperate on Sunday in order to get ready to go back to work on Monday. And then by the time they're back to work on Monday or Tuesday, they're already under the anticipation of the weekend, looking forward to the weekend again. And I believe that there's many folks in God that are Christians that they look forward to the spiritual weekend as well. And they wish away Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday because they're in trials or great strains or difficulty. I can't wait till this passes. I can't wait till this is done. I'm so sick of this thing. I'll be so glad when it's passed. Instead of saying, Lord, help me that I don't wish away this time of mine. Now, when you're younger, when you're 18, 20, 21, 22, something like that, you think you got plenty of time. So it don't really matter if you wish away a lot of stuff. But you begin to get up, you know, in your 30s and 40s and then up 50s and all that. You know what? You get to a spot. You don't want to wish away too many of them days because you might be wishing away your last one. So they become a little bit more valuable and more precious to you, but you realize that for no doubt for many of us, we've wished away many of the times in our lives that God wanted to teach us something out of that time. But instead of seeking Him to say, Lord, what is the purpose of this? Why am I going through this? What is the reason for it? We're just constantly looking for the spiritual weekend. Man, I'll be glad when this is done. I'm so sick of this. This is wearing me out. What in the world is this going on? So we're wishing it away, waiting for the weekend to arrive. Instead of trying to find God, there must be a reason in this going on. There must be a purpose in you allowing this in my life. Now let's look again at the scripture that we closed out with on Sunday, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, that Paul says, for our light affliction, which is tribulation, trouble, anguish, persecution, burdened, pressing together, pressure, oppression, distress, and straits. And I don't know about you, I've had all of them together at one time, several times in my life. Maybe not exactly in that order, but I've been there and done that, ain't you? And yet, according to the way that God looks at it, it is what He termed a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, what a strange and peculiar thing that we know that grace abounds and grace works toward the dispensation of calling the seed of God. It's a parallel between the children of Israel. Whenever God spoke to Moses in the book of Exodus and He told him He was going to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And God said, I will redeem them. I got to study that not long ago. ago, and I don't want to give away a sermon here that I've got, but this comes on my heart. And I got to study on that a while ago and thinking, how is God going to redeem them out of the land of Egypt, since most of them had been born in Egypt and they had been there for 400 years? And yet we know that redemption is the same Hebrew word that comes from the word goel, which means to buy back or to bring back. And I got to think, how could God redeem them? Now, to bring them out, I had no problem understanding that. But for God to use the word redeem out of the land of Egypt, how is God going to redeem them out when they were never there? And when I was sitting, pondering over it and looking at it, oh glory, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to make known to me that the reason that God could redeem them out of the land of Egypt and bring them back to the land of Canaan, because when Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were in the land of Canaan, they were actually in the land of Canaan in seed form. They were in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and God could redeem them back to the land. They had never been in the land themselves, but they were in the land in seed form, and therefore God could redeem them back. How are you and I going to be redeemed? I've never been to heaven. You've never been to heaven. But in seed form, in attribute form, in thought form, I was there in Him. Amen. And that's how come I can be redeemed back by the plan of God. Ain't that wonderful? Why? Because God said, I will redeem you, which is what? To take you back where you come from. We were not there as little boys and little girls. We were not there in sonship or daughtership, but we were there in seed form. And if God could redeem Israel out of the land of Egypt, though physically they had never been there, they were identified in Abraham. They were identified in Isaac. They were identified in Jacob. Well, let me tell you one thing. I've never walked down streets of gold, but I am identified in the eternal. I am identified in the Logos. Hallelujah. So what are we doing? We're in this journey of ours. We're being called back by the plan of redemption because we were in seed form, identified in the eternal. Before you was ever in time, you were in the eternal. And yet God allowed us to come down this way in time in order that something might be developed. It's something that He Himself chose not to create. It's something that He decided not to bring into existence by His spoken word. But He would, in other words, let it work down through the increments of time, through suffering and through hardship and through difficulty. If He would have chosen, He could have opted to create it. He could have went that way, but He decided to go this way. And this is why that it incorporates into the will of God for us to go through difficulty. It's in the will of God for us to be persecuted and hated and despised and rejected of men. Because our husband, the Lord Jesus Himself, and the prophets who foreran us, they also came this same way. Now God knows that grace of course is necessary. We cannot suffer for the gospel without grace first coming in and starting the work of redemption to bring us back to the place of reconciliation, to where we're reconciled back to the original seed life, which only God can do. But once grace has saved us, then God has ordained that suffering and hardship and difficulty will actually go to work in our life. It will work while we are here as mortals, but what it is working toward is an exceeding weight of glory which will be on the other side. Now you imagine that only God, of course, could come up with such a thing. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. So our affliction is actually working for us in heaven. Well, why not our revelation? Why not our understanding of deep mysteries? And yet the Bible never tells us that, as much as we know that we need them and we thank God for them. But yet all of our revelations do not work for us in exceeding weight of glory. You think of in heaven, we're going to be sitting around talking about women preachers and serpent seed and no eternal hell? You think that's all the doctrines and message folks emphasize that they make such a big thing out of? And to many folks, that's all the message is. One doctrine after another after another. But I'll tell you, friend, in eternity, we're not going to be discussing all these doctrines. It's going to be around the family of God. God's place of worship. We're not going to be, what do you think women can preach? Well, why do you think they're doing that in hell? What do you think eternal hell? Well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? My, that's not what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be living and working and eating and enjoying. It ain't going to be one big doctrinal debate after another after another. We won't have our laptops sitting in our lap or our tablets or tables or whatever more and sitting there debating and arguing around the word. We're going to be living the word that we've heard. It's a continuation of this same life. Heaven is not us all just piled up in a bunch of recliners sitting there and the angels waiting on us. We are going to live. We are going to eat. We are going to work. But it will be work with no labor. Work with no sweat. Work with no turmoil. Work with no difficulty. Amen. That's what God is bringing us back to. And this that we're going through now, which is nothing but just a fleeting moment of time in comparison to eternity, it is actually working for our benefit in glory. And the word that Paul uses is redound, which is goes beyond measure. So exceeding, so abundant that it redounds. Notice again he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding. Now listen, he uses a similar word in exceeding, which is far more, more excellent, out of measure, beyond measure, a throwing beyond, beyond all measure. It's working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight. And the word weight, which is absolutely amazing, is heaviness and burden. So in glory, you're going to be burdened down with eternity. You're going to be so loaded down with the blessings of God. As the Bible said, they're overtaking you. God said in the book of Deuteronomy to the children of Israel, I'll overtake you in my blessings. I'll overtake you in the country. I'll overtake you in the city. My, you imagine God loves you so much, blessings are chasing after you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And yet what is it that weighs this out and manifold wisdom and purpose of God that our suffering, our difficulty for the plan of God, the purpose of God, and the name of God is actually working for our benefit and it will expand and multiply to your reward on the other side. Oh, thank God. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now notice James chapter 5 verse 10. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. Oh my goodness. Of depths and mystery. Take the prophets for an example of suffering affliction. As much as God honored them and loved them, he never kept them from trouble. Jeremiah was so burdened down by the word of God that he said, I will speak no more in the name of the Lord. He said, God, you've deceived me. And I was deceived. I'm a man, he said, how can I argue with you? Praise the Lord. Prophets, friends, were humans just like us. It makes me sick to my stomach when people want to bleach out the prophets and make them angels. They're not angels. They're men. They complained. They grumbled. They had shortcomings. They had failures and mistakes just like you and I. We didn't need a perfect prophet. We needed a prophet that was a man. A man that would be able to say, I made mistakes and I told things wrong and I done wrong. I can follow a man like that myself. I can't follow some man that wants to stand up in the pulpit and act like he never said or done anything wrong. First of all, he's a bald-faced liar. Amen. Notice this. James says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. A and of patience. Now notice how he couples this together. That they, for the cause of God, suffered affliction, but they suffered it patiently. Now how in the world can he figure that when every one of them that we have record of, from Elijah to Elisha to Jonah to Jeremiah to so many of those men who prophesied in the name of the Lord, they complained about it, they asked God not to let them do it. How did they take it patiently? Well, I've got the answer in front of me, but I ain't gonna tell you. Not right yet, anyway. Watch 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And of course, this man's pleading for his life. But this man had a reputation. And he's telling the prophet of God, was it not told you what happened? You mean God allowed prophets to be killed by Jezebel? And this man, why didn't God hide him? He was using this man to do it. Why didn't God feed him? He was using this man to do it. Oh my. Oh, but you see, many times we think in our mind, boy, the prophets stood up there and they had the rods and boy, they called for lightning and thunder. That's only part of the story. Here's another part of the story. Do you think God loves them? Do you think God cared for them? Oh, why do we think there's something wrong with us when we suffer? Do we think ourselves better than Jonah? Better than Elijah? You consider yourself more loved of God than these prophets. Are you sure? Are you sure now? If we look at ourselves and look at them, we go through so much smaller things than what they ever did. And yet we look at ourselves as if, oh, I don't deserve this. Saying what? We're better? Oh my. 15 minutes in. Amen's already relinquished. Huh? Now watch in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 14. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Elijah speaking. Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets. Now we've got another incident. It's not now this other man coming to the prophet. We had Jezebel killing prophets. Now we've got the people of God killing prophets. Well, how come God didn't keep them from that? Take, my brethren, the prophets for an example. They have slain thy prophets with a sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 5 verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Do you consider yourself blessed when people lie on you on Facebook? You consider yourself blessed when people falsely accuse you of things? Come on, children, preach with me. Do you just want to make a little note on Facebook? I have been so blessed today. I've heard 15 people call me this and that and the other. I'm so blessed. I'm so loved. I'm like Christ. I'm like the prophets. I'm like the true church of the living God. I'm being persecuted for the cause of Christ. If you're being persecuted for that long devil in your mouth, I don't call that the cause of Christ. If you're persecuted because you got a nose like Pinocchio and you're constantly poking it in and out of other people's business, don't consider yourself blessed. Notice in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now notice how this again parallels to what Paul said, that it's working. A great reward given in heaven because you're persecuted? Why is it that we relate the greatest reward in heaven will be the one who understands the most about the message? Are we sure we haven't redone this gospel? Are we sure that we've not realigned this gospel and made it say something it don't even say at all? That Can you imagine? These are the words of Jesus himself saying those that when we're distressed and when we're persecuted, that because of that, it will actually make our reward great in heaven. Oh my. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now notice the options. He has two. Oh my. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Could have been the next Pharaoh. So he chooses to become a mud dauber and get down inside the brick pits. Oh, can you imagine their legs and their muscles, the muscles in their calves and in their legs as they would put that pit from the mud down the Nile River and then mix up the little pieces of straw and trample it back and forth 12 and 16 hours a day. Can you imagine how sore your legs and your feet and your back would be tramping it back and forth? And you choose that instead of becoming Pharaoh? You choose that instead of having all kinds of honor and splendor and all kinds of money and wealth and women around you and people coming and bowing before you, and you choose that? Oh, am I glad he did. Because you see, the pyramids of Egypt are dust. The kingdom of Egypt is ashes, but the name of Moses lives on forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It was a choice. I've stood there at the pyramids of Egypt. I've stood at many of the great distincts and the many of the great things there, and the wind and the elements of time eroding them away, and you can reach down and pick up the sand and run it between your fingers, but you'll never be able to do Moses that way. Why? Because he chose to suffer affliction. May I say to you tonight, I choose to suffer affliction with the people of God and instead of selling my gift and be a Hollywood preacher. I choose to suffer. What about it, Happy Valley? Do we choose to suffer affliction with the people of God? Oh my, you realize much of our affliction comes from those who've been among us. That's right. The message, folks, are suffering a persecution. A lot of it's a social persecution by the social media. But we are going through a persecution. And this is the amazing fact. Most of the time, those who persecute the people of God are never saved. There's a few like Paul that are redeemable, but for the most part, they're elements of time used in the increment of time to bring you to a spot you need to be. And they themselves are nothing but a creature of time and will cease to exist. Oh my, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Amen. Now wait a minute. The name Christ in the Greek in the New Testament is not even mentioned until the New Testament. How could Moses choose something to do with Christ in the Old Testament? Because Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He was in the old, he's in the new, and he is now. Notice, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Christ. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. That is Christ. Having your back beat is Christ. Being identified with God's people is Christ. Friends, it takes a revelation to find where Christ is. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Oh man, the church said. Notice now as we go on down to chapter 11 verse 35. Now let's compare ourselves to this. Women receive their dead raised to life again, but not all of them, only a few. Christians were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. Lord Jesus. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Do we feel like we deserve better than them? Are you sure? Are you sure in your mind you don't look at yourself and think you're better than these people? I don't think we'd complain near as much if we didn't think somehow we were better. We deserved better. I should be treated better. Why and why is that? Am I better than Peter? Paul? Timothy, Titus, they were hated, ran out of cities, beat, stoned, whipped. Am I better than them because I'm in this message? They were in the message too. Praise the Lord, saints. Oh, God, help us. You see what I'm saying? I think that we're missing an element of what God wants us to understand, even when it's physical sickness. Mental stress, financial strains, and it doesn't even mean God was the one that put you there. Maybe some of it's your own ignorance. Maybe some of it you ain't taking care of yourself, and you get run down. You eat like a fattening hog and turn into one, then wonder why you're acting like one. Well, glory, Brother Donnie, keep preaching. Some of y'all know you ain't supposed to eat salt, ain't supposed to eat this, that, and the other, and your blood pressure skyrockets, and you take all kind of medicine to bring it down. You're your own demise. What I'm going to preach with or without you is just up to you. Don't blame it on God. In some of them instances, you can't even blame it on the devil. Why don't you put the blame where it belongs, yourself? We lack self-discipline, church. Come on now. This is your body. We condemn folks for smoke, and we should. We condemn folks who shoot marijuana and this and that and the other. What about those of us that abuse our bodies in other ways? This is God's house. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you need to watch over it. Oh, my. Well, well. Hallelujah. Notice this. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the... You mean acting like animals? Yeah. And if we don't live in the ridges, or if we don't live over here or over there, God don't love us. God don't love us. So you're saying He didn't love them. Some of your brothers and sisters had to run for their lives. And they hold up in caves and dens. Run a fox out of its den, or a coyote, or a wolf, or a bear. To have a place to stay. It'll truly be a miracle for every American that comes out in the rapture, won't it? But there will be some. Oh my. Listen to this verse 39. I love it. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. The better thing wasn't a nicer car or a nicer place to live or trouble free. The better thing was the more truth. Praise the Lord. Oh my. That they without us should not be made perfect. So how are they going to be made perfect? Because we got more things. Because we got more revelation. What will cap off these ages? What will cap off seven church ages? The restoration of the word back to the original state. And with that will come the power back to Pentecost. Pentecost, not 1906, but the original, it will be so complete. But listen, Joshua, it will not be with great signs and wonders as it was with Moses. But as he said to Moses, I'll be with you, so will he be with us. Is it a world-shaking revival? By no means. It is an individual-shaking revival. Is it us emptying out the hospitals? It ain't me emptying out the hospital. It's me emptying out me. That's a greater work than emptying out the hospitals. Amen. If I can keep me empty, my life, a life under control, God can do more with me than he could if I walked in the medical center tomorrow and emptied out every hospital bed in there. One life under complete control of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine God having something, provided something better for us than he did for them, and they are not made perfect? Hang on. Paul cannot get up in the resurrection without the completion of this word. Peter's great a man as he was. Irenaeus, all them great men, they cannot have a resurrection until this last day bride comes to her spot. And it will be so complete and so right. We will be the capstone that will cap off the entire body. And when we come to our final say under this message of Malachi 4, it will cause Paul and Peter and Irenaeus and Luther and all of the true Wesleyans to get up in the resurrection. Praise be to God. Oh my. Oh, help us, Lord. Notice in James chapter 5 verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. How long has it been since y'all just overflowed with happiness because of endurance? It's amazing, ain't it, the way we relate it. We relate happiness and joy and all that smiles with money and cars working good and the house payment and the insurance is paid. And that's the way we link it all together. And the scriptural way is that we count them happy which endure. Well, I ain't too smart, but I got enough sense to know that if you're enduring, that means you're going through something. And you're enduring it. Oh, God, pray for me. Pray for me that I'll hold on. You ain't enduring it. You're just barely hanging on. Don't think you're a testimony to endurance. Energizer sure wouldn't want you to advertise in their batteries. Pray for me. Pray for me. They want that little guy that does this. Oh, my, that's the way I want God. God, if you can use me to advertise the Holy Ghost, let me be your advertisement, Lord. You can endure whatever you go through. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than able. Some of y'all act like your batteries just run down. Please get that look off your face. But we count them happy which endure. Ah, James, surely you're not going to say this. You have heard of the patience of Job. That you reckon James didn't read the book of Job the way we do. You reckon James didn't have all them chapters that we have? When Job was complaining and going through this and that and the other, how in the world could James use Job as an example of patience? James could use Job because Job is brought through the power of the cross. His complaining, his weakness, his grumbling is never mentioned. Oh, glory to God. Let that be my testimony. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. You have heard of the patience of Job. And now listen to the difference. And have seen the end of the Lord. Now you've heard about the patience of Job. But you have seen the end of the Lord. Now, not that the Lord has an end, but it's a compound meaning by which James is directing us. And that is, you've heard of the patience of Job, and you've seen the end that the Lord brought to Job's life. Now, you've heard of the patience of Job, but you've seen the end of what the Lord done. From the account given of Job, we hear him starting out, as we look at it initially, strong and powerful in faith. But as he goes on, he gets weaker and weaker and complains about this and that and the other. And yet his impatience is not even mentioned by James. Now, you see, here is the secret. Because Job, by virtue of his nature, was not impatient. It was only minor breakdowns that Job had along the way. But James is commenting what Job was from his nature. What God saw, oh children, I would to God you could see tonight that it's not your mistakes along the way. It's not your errors along the way. When Job's mistakes was pointed out, he humbled himself and repented. And it showed the real virtue of Job as patience, not lack of it. If you're a real son or daughter of God, when you're wrong and you're shown by the word, you'll be corrected. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh. You got to be sensible. There was definite signs of impatience expressed. There was definite signs of weakness that were vocalized by this man. But that's not who he was. James is writing about who he was. He says, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Job's patience is heard of, but his end by God's predestination is seen. The happy end or exodus out of Job's trouble was God's doing, not Job's. I love the way he calls it the end of the Lord. Now watch, the Lord, then James goes on to say that the Lord is very pitiful. Now you and I use this word in one of two ways. And we look at somebody and they're sick or crippled or whatever more. And we look and say, boy, they're so pitiful, ain't they? They're just absolutely so pitiful. But that's not the way James is describing the Lord. Looking at the Lord, the Lord is so pitiful. But the Lord is rich in pity and compassion. The Lord is merciful. This is the way Job's end was brought out, by God's pity. It was not brought out because Job was such a man. Boy, he never done one thing wrong. He never went one thing. How was it that brought his end? And if you don't realize it already, you're going to. What's going to bring your end out to be right? Because the same God is pitiful to you and I. He is compassionate. He's full of mercy. And he hears our grumblings and complainings and shortcomings. And what does he do? Amen. He confines it and moves on our heart. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And when we do, then the real us shines through. And what's the end of this verse? The Lord is pitiful. Notice this in Job 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Look what turned it. When he prayed for his friends. We do ourselves a very, very selfish, and very, very selfish thing. When we're going through so much stuff, that all we pray about is us. Because you'll find yourself digging a hole deeper and deeper and deeper and feeling more sorry for yourself all the time. But God turned his captivity when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, what business investor Mama, what man would not want to invest in this? You invest $1,000 and you get $2,000 back. You got 7,000 sheep and you get back 14 after a year's investment. Whoa, that's quite an investment. The stock exchange, you'd probably like to hear about it after this week, wouldn't they? But God didn't tell him about this up front, did he? Now notice what happened to Job. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters. Well, glory. Old brother Job got back right with God. Now I'm in fellowship with him again. Hallelujah. Where were they when this man was going through such hell? Hang tight with me now. No doubt the Lord allowed them to leave. No doubt the Lord allowed his brothers to go away from him and allowed his sisters to go away from him. Praise the Lord. But man, when things turn, here they come. Oh, praise God. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man. Hey, man. I hear you're doing great. I just wanted to come and say hello. All they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. What, it's been so long since I seen Job and said, I ain't moved. I'm still at P.O. Box 777 Faith Avenue, Election Eternity. Address and city and state. I'm still at the same place I've always been. My, but here they all come pouring in. How many's ever been there whenever your friends go this way and go that way and you're trying to figure out what in the world's going on? I hope you understand this. I'm sure sometimes God allows it to be thus. Where you'll trust in nobody but him. And they bemoaned him and comforted him. Well, thank you. Now that I'm better. Now that I'm doing great, you come to comfort me. I was thinking about you, brother. You imagine, now he's doing good. Minds, the substance is returning. His health is back. His attitude is back. Here they come. And, hey, boy, the door started, the door banger started knocking, the doorbell ringing, and here they come, FTD force bringing stuff. They had all kinds of bouquets and chocolates and cookies and mine. Look like his, my place at Christmas time. The UPS guy brings one box of chocolates and then the FedEx guy brings them edible arrangement things. And man, I guess everybody knows it's Pastor Appreciation Day and Christmas time for the preacher. Man, you had come back around. FTD was knocking on the door and the servant come over just to be bopping it through. Man, here, Brother Job, here's a floral arrangement for your older brother. Here's one from your middle brother. Here's one from your younger brother. Here's chocolates from Esther Price. Here's this from so-and-so. And here's some of the best baked cookies I ever smelled in my life. And where were all these friends? When he was going through hell, God let him stand there by himself. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Oh, really? And every man also gave him a piece of money. The man's filthy rich now. And they're giving him money. I got friends like that. I got friends, preacher friends, that say, buddy, we're standing with you. But they're so far behind, nobody can't really tell if they are or not. I'm a dangerous person to stand close to, so everybody kind of keeps their distance, you know. Now you imagine they come and they bring him a piece of money. Why not bring it when a man is broke? Look how God does things, Brother Terry, that you think God and I got a friend of the world. He did. But it's like God pulled all that away from him and left him standing there by himself. Now that the blessing of God is back, they're back. Man, we'd like you to come preach a convention for us. Would you come over here? Would you come over there? Praise God. You're the man of the hour, Joe. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're the man. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep. Had 7,000 12 months prior to this. 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemima and the name of the second Keziah. And the name of the third, poor old thing, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her name. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Isn't it strange that the names of the men aren't mentioned? But the title deed after the trials is identified with the female. And their name is called into the redemption. The bride. After this, lived Job 140 years. This is the same man that cursed the day he was born. This is the same man that we went through all the nights and the moon and all this and that and the other. Aren't you glad God didn't listen to him? I imagine old Job relived them moments and said, Lord, what in the world was I talking about? What in the world was I saying out there for? But why didn't James mention that? Because that wasn't really who Job was. This is who Job was. And if you're a seed of life, you're ordained of God. These human weakness, this human failures of yours, your complaining, your grumbling, your temporary loss of faith at times is not who you are. But who you are is a son or daughter of God whose name is on that Lamb's Book of Life. And my friends, not only is your name written there, but you are ordained to have a Holy Ghost experience in this life that changes you from being a mortal to an immortal. Will you have failures? Will you have mistakes? Yes, but that's not who you are. Hallelujah. Brother Tim Pruitt sent me a text today and tell me they had a young people service last night. One of the young boys at their church had to give a testimony. He said one thing that he'd found out was that getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost didn't take the temptation away. It just changed the outcome. I said, praise God. That's a good thing. It don't change the temptation. It don't take trouble away. It don't take sickness away, but it changes the outcome. Ain't that what happened to you and I? We can live in this life if we want to so defeated, or we can get so full of the Holy Ghost and we'll still have troubles, we'll still have trial, but it'll change the outcome of the way you act. Oh my. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So what happened to all them big fancy words? What happened to all them cursings? Annihilation. So Job died, being old and full of days. And of course they carried Job and buried him in the end of a field where there was a cave. A cave that had 2 entrances. Some years later, a man by the name of Abraham was coming through and his wife had died. He had no place to bury his wife, though he was heir of all the promised land. He come before the sons of Heth and said, will you sell me a burying place? So they come together and he asked for this particular spot, this field, the cave of Machpelah. This man said, what is 400 shekels of silver between me and thee? My goodness, I mean, it's nothing. Just take it, take it. Abraham said, I'll buy it. No, take it, no, take it. No, if I take it, you'll have a claim on it, but I'll buy it. Well, he said, it's worth 400 pieces of silver. What in the world is that worth to me and you now? You know, from some of the ancient tablets where they've dug up during this time frame, this was highway robbery for the price that he paid for it. It's like buying beachfront property right outside of Salt Lake City. You imagine them old boys went back to house that day and they said, man, we skinned him, didn't we? We've had that place in the realtor's hands for 42 years. Nobody wanted that place. It ain't good for cows. It ain't good for horses. It ain't good for donkeys. But Abraham, by revelation, there was something that tied him to the cave of Machpelah. What was it? This man of patience was buried inside of there. And God had revealed him. Now remember, the resurrection was not then the way that it is now. It was going to be in a location, so you had to be in a certain spot to be resurrected. And he takes Sarah there and he buries her. Abraham is buried there. Jacob is buried there. Oh my, on and on. You remember the story goes. And when the Lord Jesus came, Matthew 27:53, the Bible says, many of the bodies of those saints which slept arose and entered with him into his resurrection. The patience of Job. Abraham knew about this man. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. He knew about this man, and his testimony rang so true to Abraham that he said, I want to be buried where he's buried. Amen. And you imagine when Jesus' blood hanging there on the cross, and he went down into hell and took the keys away from the devil, and the prophet said he'd come back up to paradise, and he knocked on the door and he said, who opened the door? Job. And Job come through there and said, oh my Lord, there he is. Abraham come, Sarah come, look who it is. It's the one we entertained on the oak. And Ezekiel said, it's that wheel I saw in the middle of the wheel. All of those folks had shortcomings and failures, but that's not who they were. Who they were was the Word in their day. And that's what God resurrected, not their failures, their identity. He's not going to resurrect your shortcomings. He's not going to resurrect your failures. He's going to resurrect you by seed. Seven 7,000 sheep, 500 pairs of this, so many of this, sewn together with 12 months of affliction, comes out on the other side of glory, doubled. Amen. You live a moment in time, go through all kinds of things for the sake of Christ the Word. In eternity, as you walk up through there, and it's. And most of it you probably never even knew. People that you touched. People that you just smiled. Maybe shook their hand and smiled. I don't want to just stand there that day and see preachers get their rewards. I want to see them sheep too. Because really the preachers, they have a little bit of an idea anyway. They have a little bit of a view. You know, they've done this and this and this. But a lot of times, it's you folks. It's you that people don't know that you've done this and you helped buy this person gas and sent an encouraging card to this person and done this and that and the other to another person. Nobody never even know nothing about it. You went through suffering and persecution because of your dress and your hair, sisters, and the way you look, and you're persecuted because of your stand for the Word. And it was just for a moment. Just for a moment. And it grew. And grew. And grew. And grew. Brother Benjamin said he stood there that day in that dream. One wife in one arm, the other in the other, and he walked up through there. Remember him talking about it? Remember he said, when you get there on the other side, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. It's quite a bit to say to a false prophet. So called. I heard him say the other day in warning, then judgment, he said, as hard as I've been on the denominations and the way I've blasted them, he said, Brother Borders told me the other day, we have over 1,000 invitations from people from around the world wanting us to come and preach. And I thought, that's quite shocking. Over 1,000 invitations for a false prophet to come and preach false prophecy to your people and damn them to hell. He wasn't a false prophet. As a matter of fact, I read it today where a little woman had been brought up to Brother Branham to pray for him. Whenever she came up where he was, God moved forward, touched her. Her husband contacted Brother Branham later and said, "Brother Branham, since you prayed for my wife, something really strange happened to her." I said, "What is it, brother?" So, well, she told me that when she came up here for you to pray for, there's a man standing by you. And said, you reached out your hand to pray for, but that man was standing there by you with his arms crossed. And said, she looked up at him while you was praying for her, and he spoke to her and said, "Brother Branham looks awful tired, don't he?" And she described the angel of the Lord to a T. This is 1948. Brother Branham said she had never even heard the story. But the angel stood there with his arms crossed and said, "Brother Branham looks awful frail, awful tired, don't he?" And said, whatever Brother Branham prayed for, said it left her right there and she felt it, but she's still glued. I imagine, I think I would be too, wouldn't you? And he said it again, "Brother Branham is awful tired and awful frail, but he will get over it." You think an angel of God would identify himself with a false prophet? The greatest ministry that's ever been on the earth outside the Lord Jesus, and the greatest one would be a devil? Which one is the biggest then, God or the devil? You mean a false prophet had more power, more works with God than any true prophet that ever lived? Come on, saints, be sensible. We're not following a false prophet. But this is part of what we must suffer. Folks had to go in, had to come in and learn and listen and hear and then go out and persecute us, call us names. We're getting a whole lot more persecution from ex-followers of the message than we are Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals. Praise the Lord. So be it. May God give us strength. May God give us courage. Some of the greatest trouble we went through in our church was caused by message followers. But guess what? We come through it with flying colors. I wasn't sure if we would, but we did. And they do it again, so be it. God allows it. He'll give us strength and courage. We'll come out on the other side better people. Because you see, no message people I know of that's full of the Holy Ghost hates anyone or persecutes anyone. Folks want to leave the message and want to leave our church, let them leave. Go ahead and do what they want to do. That's up to them. We're going on. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I lived a perfectly normal life without a lot of these people who's come and gone without them in the beginning. So now they've come, done their little deal, caused a little troubles, and they're gone. I'm living a perfect, normal Christian life without them. And if some of the rest of you want to go, I'm convinced I live a perfectly normal, overcoming Christian life without you. If you think I have to have you to live, guess again. You're barking up the wrong tree, coon dog. I don't want to see you go. I don't want to see you leave the word. But Brother Amos, if you want to go, buddy, I love you. But I'll live a perfectly normal Christian life if you do. Come on, saints. Oh, but I don't tell you one thing. No, my eyes ain't on you. And don't you let yours be on me. And on somebody else. We need one another. That's exactly right. But if you come, you go. I come, I go. We're still got our eyes on Christ the Word. Christ the Word. Christ the Word. Before long, friends, this slight affliction, which has been but a moment, will pass. Oh my. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd be able to take these simple words and illustrations. Make them a help and a blessing to us, Lord. I know these services in the last few weeks, Lord, they've been such a ministering strength to so many people. Lord, I've got so many texts and emails from different people all over the world and all over the states that have been so helped by. I'm thankful, Lord. I'm grateful. I pray that you'd help me that I can always be obedient to you, Lord. I know this is not deep and profound and all that sort of thing, but you know me, that don't matter to me. What I want is to preach something that'll minister to the needs of your people. And it'll help them along the way. Jesus, we need you so much. I pray, Father, that we would learn by your grace that in everything to give thanks. Praise God. When we're feeling good and victorious and the bills are paid, it's not hard to praise you then. But if we're in God's provided place of worship, when things aren't going good and people's turning their back against us, we'll still be having praise and victory. Praise God. Minister to us tonight, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many loves Him? Brother Eugene Braun sent me a little story yesterday. He said a man was standing near a hole of water. And this cat falls in the water. The man reaches over to try to save the cat. And when he does, the cat scratches him. And you know how cats do. And so he took his hand off the cat. And the man reached in again to try to save the cat. And there's another man standing there by and watching him. He said, "Didn't you learn the first time? Leave that cat alone." So the man took his hand off the cat again. He's scratching him and clawing him. He reaches again the third time. Cat does the same thing. But this time the cat's getting more desperate. So he submits to the man. And the man reaches him and pulls him out. So the man takes the wet cat over to the man who had criticized him. He said, "It is the cat's nature to scratch. It is my nature to save. Why should I let the nature of the cat be predominant over mine?" It's the nature of gossipers to gossip. It's the nature of liars to lie. It's the nature of troublemakers to cause trouble. But why should you and I let their nature dominate ours if we're born again? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we live what, Brother Terry? A victorious, overcoming life with all the cats scratching. And some folks don't want you to save them. But all we can do is do our very best and refuse to allow them to control us. You love Him, saints. How many wants to suffer with the right attitude? Now, you're not asking for suffering. I don't think you're signing up in line for suffering. You're wanting the right attitude when God in His wisdom will allow it to happen. Even sickness in your body and affliction. A preacher stood here in this pulpit not long ago. He'd been through some real, real difficult things in his body. He sat right back here in that office and told me, he said, "You know, I've been through so much," and went through different things he'd been through and tell me about it. He said, "You know what, Brother Donnie? I really learned some things." He said, "I thought I was caring. I thought that already my people would come up and tell me this, that, and other. I'd say, 'Grow up. Get next to yourself. Be a man. Put on your big boy britches.'" But he said, "After I went through some of the stuff I went through," he said, "people come to me with their burdens and their sickness. I'll break down and cry." He said, "Do you believe that?" I said, "I'm preaching on it right now in a series on suffering." He said, "Well, I'm going to go back and listen to it." See, preachers, even though they're gifted, this brother's so gifted to speak, been such a blessing to people all over the world. But just because you're gifted to preach, don't mean you're gifted to relate to people's sufferings. Because you can look at them, "Oh, they need to grow up, they need to do this." So you're not feeling for them. You're cold. You're hard. Lord, children, may God help us that we don't turn into such people. Cold, hard, and indifferent. That we can hear of people's needs and we make fun of them. And criticize them. "Grow up, grow up." You better be careful. God may sign you up in school. God will give you a degree in suffering. Oh, may the Lord help us. Praise be to God. Sing something for us, hey? And you know, there may be a little weather coming here tonight, maybe some snow, ice, whatever more. We'll just call it in the morning. Hopefully, we'll be able to have church tomorrow. Boy, we got some wonderful things to look at. I sure hope we don't have to miss church. Oh, my. You know what? If people can get excited about the weekend, about getting drunk, you folks ought to be so excited about coming to church. We ought to be so excited. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing just a little bit before we go, can we? You love Him with all your hearts. Oh, praise God. I hope when my time comes and I stand before the Lord Jesus, all my mistakes, my errors, my complaining, my grumbling, all that, I stand up right that day and I walk with Carol on my arm. He calls our names, whatever our names are. I walk out of that crowd, maybe the last one. I walk out of that crowd and y'all stand there looking at me. Stand there in your new body. Say, there's Brother Donnie. There's Brother Donnie, Sister Carol. And I have to walk up there. I hope you don't say, you remember when you went through this and this and you complained and grumbled about it? I hope you don't say, you remember all them times you wished you was a plumber instead of a preacher? And you know how bad you hate plumbing? That's the way I console myself when I'm about ready to quit preaching. I do something in the plumbing line. I put a sink in for Erica the other day, and I was so glad I was a preacher when I got done. I hope you don't say all that to me. I just kind of got a feeling, Sister Donna, that he won't. He'll know the real me. Hey.
Amen.
I don't want no reward. I don't want no crown. I don't want none of that. If I can just get to be there with him and with you, that'll be all my reward. Forget mansions. Hey, I can live in a cabin too. It makes no difference to me. I don't deserve any of it anyway. But to me, the victorious part will be all of my human frailties and shortcomings along the way. It'll be like Job. Imagine Jesus standing up and saying about me, how many of y'all's heard about the patience of Donnie? And you Happy Valley folks, I was with him. I stood with him. I heard about it. Glory to God. Let's be there, children. Let's be there. And then when you walk up before the Lord and say, how many's heard of the endurance of this brother or sister? And I'm standing there thinking, oh dear God. No. I won't be thinking that because I'll know the real you. Them bumps you went through in them low times of your life, they won't even be there. And I'll be standing there, glory, Brother Jerry, glory. Hallelujah, Brother Byron. Praise God. Friends, this is not a story. It's the truth. Amen. Let's worship a little bit together now.
Amazing grace.
Yes, Lord.
Will always be my song of
thank you, Jesus.
For it was grace.
It was grace
that for my liberty.
Oh, let's worship Him now. In everything, give thanks.
Do not know just why He came to love me so. He looked
hallelujah.
Beyond.
Praise God. Let's worship Him together,
my
saints.
Faults and saw
hallelujah.
My need.
Everybody.
I shall
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Can we just raise these hands that were one time filthy, handled all kinds of filth of the world. Some of your hands were stained yellow by cigarettes and amber out of your mouth and beer and whiskey and old filthy magazines and whatever more that your hands used to grasp. But now those hands can be raised in the presence of the King. Glory, glory, glory. As the scripture says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. At one time, God wouldn't even receive your hands, much less the praise from your mouth. But He's washing you, cleansing you, putting you through afflictions and troubles, maybe allowing your friends to turn against you, maybe your job and whatever more. Oh my, but don't get an attitude against Him. Look, friends, a real believer can have a lapse in his faith. A real believer can have a lapse in his strength and in his courage. But if he's a real believer, the lapse is not who he is. It's simply that. It's a lapse. But it will return full strength. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord. I've had lapses in my courage, Father. Lapses in my strength. Lord, there's folks that stood here that, Father, some of them even backslid years ago and got out of church, maybe for a long time. But backslidden wasn't who they was, really. Amen. It was a lapse in their faith. Something happened, but they came back. Lord, in the times of testing and trials and maybe week after week or test after test or trial after trial, we've got weak and muttered foolish words and things we shouldn't have said. Our courage lapsed and got weak. But Lord, that's not who we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are your children. Glory to Jesus. Father, I pray tonight. May you strengthen us. May you give us courage. May we learn to worship, to praise, to adore, not because of circumstances, not just because of answered prayer. A real worshiper can praise you with just as much strength for unanswered prayers that are yet to be fulfilled as they can for answered prayers which have already happened. Abraham looked at the promise of God, didn't consider the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. But the prophet said he watered that promise every day with praise. Abraham took that body change promise and watered it with praise every day. I'm going to be changed. Sarah's going to be changed. We're going to have that young'un. I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm going to water this seed till it comes up. Help us to do likewise. Lord, maybe some of these people's out of a job. They need a job. They need a place to live. They need this, that, the other. May they take the promise of God. May they water with praise until it comes to pass in their life. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Together now, can we just lift our hands? Lift them up high. Don't give God a half-mass thing. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's lift our hands up high. Let the angels see them. Let all the devils down in hell to know you're not ashamed to be identified in worshiping and praising your Lord. Friends, if you're so low tonight, you're so poor, you can't even buy a bottle of pop after church. God's been so good to every one of us. He's done so much for us. We've got so much to thank Him for. Oh my, hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Praise be to God.
For the gospel.
We praise you, Jesus.
When it seemed I we worship stood you, alone. Lord.
Thank you, Father,
the
for all you mean
and
to us, Lord.
Frustrations.
Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for all the trials, Lord.
So many
thank you,
times
Lord, for counting me worthy to be identified to suffer reproach for your
word name. So true.
Thank you, Lord, for counting
if you
me
won't
worthy
be
to be
ashamed of me,
to
I won't be
of you,
you
Lord.
So I proudly stand until I see
yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The face of the one who gave has not been easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of this day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all. The Lord, He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I bow for His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front, every kindred, tongue, and race, and every child of God that day will look upon His face. When the heroes and the martyrs who died all the pagans are, we'll all stand together and declare,
Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight. Father, to us this is not just a hope so, maybe, perhaps. We believe it's true. We're so grateful that we know You not as a historical figure, but a real person in our lives. Most of us have never seen Your face. Most of us have never seen Your visible hands or Your visible feet. That is yet to wait for us in that day of our reward. But we believe You are real. Unlike the pagan religions of the world who offer no life-changing experiences, no miracles, no supernatural to change the individuals, You offer a gospel which produces a new life, a new creature. Lord, I pray that You'd help each of us. May You encourage, may You strengthen, may You uplift, Father. We love You, Lord. If it be Your will, we'd be able to be gathered here again in the morning. I pray that You let us come together again and see some of the expanding results of what happens whenever we suffer, whenever we go through it properly. Lord, truly, if Job would have looked at his trials as a spiritual investment, that if he could make it from week to week and month to month, that he would have more sheep and more camels and so on and so on. It would have been easier for him. But he had no way of knowing that because You were silent. But yet, Father, You've made it known to us that the little sufferings in this life are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. What will it be, Lord? I don't understand. It must be something. It must be so profound. When Paul was carried that day into a place to the third heavens, and he saw things that was not even lawful for a man to utter. It must have been so glorious what he saw. To see what was going to be revealed in us, no doubt, was part of it. It changed his life forever. Help us, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, I pray, Father. We love you so much. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
Praise God. That means it's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Hallelujah. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody now.
I see them gathering. Oh.